Hey, welcome back. 30X Day 4 it is. Day 4, we're going to be starting to learn about building an identity, how we do that sort of stuff. What is the identity iceberg, etc. That being said, we've got to go back and remind ourselves, are we building our dream charts? Are we started on our bucket list? Dream journals, goals, all that stuff. B times do equals have. Let's get the core stuff and make sure we're with it. And let's go for big. Let's go for not, your goals can't be to-do list items. Your goals have got to be massive. So if they don't scare you or excite you, they're not really goals or dreams. They're just to-do list items. So today we're going to learn about how do we as humans perform? How do we create long-term change? How do we create results that we want for ourselves? And there's two very, very powerful words when put together in the English language, and they're tiny little words, but they're probably some of the most powerful words when they're added together, and that are the words I am. I am is a defining word for you as a human. You know, I am a plumber, or I am a dad, or I am a brother, or these I am words that happen. And now we're going to get to both the positive and negative sides of this in just a moment, but it's kind of important for us to understand the structure by which we as humans develop. And that's really looking at the identity iceberg. So let me explain the iceberg to you, or draw it up for you. And then what we're going to do is actually go through each step of it and see how we can grow as people. So the start, and why do I use an iceberg? Well, first and foremost, you know, with an iceberg, it's like 10% above the waterline and 80, 90% below the waterline type thing. And that's kind of the way I'd like to describe humans, that there's a percentage of that person that you get to see, and there is a vast majority of them that you don't get to see. So it's kind of like, you know, you'll see the on-the-surface stuff about them, but you don't dive in deep to all of the beliefs and behaviors and all of that structure and their values and their core identities. And they're not the things that you're going to sit at a dinner table and discuss with someone in most cases. So what I'm looking for here is a different way of thinking. What I'm looking for here is for those of us saying, well, okay, how do we shift? The identity shifts happen this way. So above the waterline is our behaviors, okay? Behaviors are made up of two things, really, our decisions and our actions. So you see, decisions and actions create is what really are behaviors. And that's majority of what we see of other people. That's majority of what we see of ourselves and how we determine our own self on different days. What lies below the waterline, though, are several things that I think are very important. Number one is skills. The biggest determining factor of what creates someone's behavioral set is their skills. And again, I'll go into these in detail in a minute. I just want to draw it up for you. The biggest determining factor of their skill set is their belief set. So below skills is their beliefs, okay? From your beliefs, you go down to your values, what it is you value most. And from your values, we come down to our core identity. Surrounding the entire iceberg is the water, okay? And we call that the environment. What is your environment that you're putting yourself in? So each of these, we're going to go through and understand a bit more of how they work together. Starting right at the top, decisions and actions. How do you make decisions? Well, a lot of the way you make decisions is based on the things here below, your values, based on your beliefs, based on the environment you're in. A lot of these things determine how you make your decisions and therefore what actions you take, hence your behavioral set, okay? So behaviors are like things you do. So imagine we go to make change and we want to make a long-term change to ourselves. We can't just change our behavior. If, let's say you want to change, you want to get fit and you change your behavior, that's all you change. You don't worry about the skills, learning new skills, changing your beliefs, changing values, or changing identity. All you work on is changing your behavior and you say, okay, I'm going to go and start running. So you go out one morning and you go for a run, all right? And you feel pretty good about life. So the next day you get up early and you go for a run again. And in fact, you feel so good about life, you're looking at people sleeping in thinking, ha ha, you lazy people, I'm out here running. Day three, you wake up, you're a little bit sore, and you roll over and you notice that it's raining outside. And you're like, huh, maybe I'll just take today off. Today becomes tomorrow, and wake up again, and you go, listen, I'll just roll over for 5 minutes. 5 becomes 25. Then you're like, well, if I go for a run now, I'm going to be late for work. And so the change didn't happen because all we aim to do is change the surface behavior in our life. If you are trying to make change and grow as a person, then just shifting that on the surface level behavior will not do the job. It just won't do the job. So what we got to look at is, well, what creates longer term change? What creates better change for us? Well, then we go down to our skill set. See, what we're good at, we do more of. Let's just be real clear about that. If you're a good cook, you'll invite people over, you'll cook for them. Why? You're good at it. You feel good about it. They give you compliments. You do more of the things you're good at. If you're not a good cook, you don't invite people over for dinner. You'll invite them to a restaurant or you'll order in or you'll probably cook a barbecue or something and con one of the friends to cook for you type thing. You know, if you're not good at something, you don't do more of it. And it kind of becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy when we get down to beliefs. But let's just stay with skills just for a second. The person running, if they're not good at running, they're not going to keep going with it type thing. It's not a skill they've developed. So how do we get longer-term change? Well, we gain more skills. How do we do that? Well, we go to training. We get a mentor. We join a team. We join a club. We do something. The more skills you get, sort of like, let's use cooking as an example. If you wanted to get better at cooking, then you'd go and join other people that are cooking. You gain the skill set, therefore you do more of it, okay? The more skills you gain, the more of that thing you do. As whether it's business, whether it's relationships, whether it's fitness, whatever we gain more skills at, we will do more of. So if you want to be doing more of something, or you know because you did the be, do, have formula, I need to be doing more of this, then hey presto, you need to go and get some more skills around that. And whether it's going to a class or doing an online learning or whatever, you've got to gain the skills if you want to be doing more of it longer term. Now, I mentioned the self-fulfilling prophecy. So let's move down the iceberg to beliefs, okay? When we start looking at your beliefs, beliefs are where things start to becoming a challenge, because what you believe to be true, often you will make true. Let me give you an example of that. Okay, let's stay with cooking. How many cooking lessons did you take before you realized you're a bad cook, if you think you're a bad cook? You probably took none, okay? You just worked out that, you know, hey, I burnt an egg one time, therefore I'm no good at cooking. If you believe you're no good at cooking, you're not going to take cooking classes. You're not going to read cooking books, watch cooking shows. People aren't going to buy you cooking gifts for Christmas and new knives and pots and pans because you believe I'm bad at cooking. So it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy because you never, ever even learned it. You cannot be good at stuff you did not study. It's simple. You know, I remember teaching, I coached my kids' soccer team, and I remember one of the young kids coming over to me one day, and I'm teaching them laces kicks, kicking with the front of your, on top of your boot, not the side of your boot, not the toe of your boot, kicking from on top. So one kid comes over to me and says, "Coach, I'm no good at those." I said, "Really? How many did you do?" Because I'd sent them over to the fence to do practice doing this. She said, "I did 5. I said, "Great. When you get to 100 of them, tell me if you got better." She went away, did another 95, came back. "Coach, I got much better. In fact, I did some really good ones." Huh. See, where we believe good, and let's use math again because we use that one as an example. At what age did someone tell you or did you start to think, okay, I'm bad at math, I'm no good at math? Probably age between 5 and 10, right? How many math things had you studied before that? Now, the human brain, it said, it doesn't evolve fully till you're 13 mathematically. So, you know, it's hard to make a decision whether you're good or bad at something until your brain's fully capable of it. You know, people say, "Oh, I'm bad at math." Well, okay, let's just think about this for a second. Imagine you think you're bad at math. You go do a math test, you get a bad math result. What do you say to yourself? "Huh? See, I told you, I'm bad at math." Now, again, believing you're bad at math, you go do a math test, you come back, you get an amazing result, like an A+. And you look at it and you go, huh. It must have been an easy test because I'm bad at math. Or they must have marked it wrong because I'm bad at math. See, the belief is often stronger than even the result is predicting. Sometimes, you know, you believe that, well, you know, I'm no good at cooking. Well, I made a great salad. Yeah, but I'm no good at cooking. You know, you can use an example in life to give you further belief of what you exist, what your current belief is, or you can use it the exact opposite way to downplay your thing. And it's kind of crazy the way we do that. You know, I think the simple way to look at it is every time you reinforce a belief is kind of like adding a rock to the pile type thing. You know, you build the belief, you add a rock to the pile. And interestingly enough, you can take the pile apart one rock at a time, or you can bring in a bulldozer and just remove those rocks and change your belief immediately. It's not hard. You know, okay, I'm bad at cooking. You know what? I'm going to be good at cooking. I'm going to go and take 10 lessons on cooking. I'm going to read cooking books. I'm going to watch some cooking shows. I'm going to hang out with some friends who are good at cooking, and I'm going to learn to be good at cooking. You know, you really can if you want to, okay? The belief can be changed. The belief can be shifted. You know, beliefs around money. Well, you know, I'm not rich. Change your belief. You know, it's crazy that people think once I've established a belief, I got to keep it. No. Once you've established a belief, you can question it and say, do I want to keep that belief? Do I want to change that belief? I kind of want to change that belief. Excellent. Change that belief. You know, I'm no good at math. Change your belief. Go take some math classes. Go learn math. You know, it's just a learned skill. Same as cooking. So what beliefs have you got currently that are holding you back? What do you believe you're no good at that if you change your belief, went and did some learning and did some stuff, got the skills, you can have those behaviors. Now, what is it that contributes to our beliefs? Well, when we take a step down the iceberg, what do we notice? We notice values. What is it that you value? And this is where, you know, people say, well, hang on, Brad, help me understand what is values. Well, I'm not talking about, you know, having good values as in, you know, take care of people, all that sort of stuff. What I'm looking at here is what is it that you value more than other things? And we're going to do a project on this during 30X in a few days' time. But I want you to understand that what I'm looking at here is what is it that's more important to you? Maybe that's an easier way to describe values. What's more important to you? So, for example, let's look at what's important to you. Maybe what's important to you is success. And success is so important to you that you're willing and okay with being rejected in life, okay, with asking for something and it being a rejection. But what if you're a different type of person and fear of rejection is more valued for you? You want acceptance more than you want success. See, think of the two things. So here we have someone who wants success more than they want acceptance. They will do what they need to do to get to be successful. On the other hand, if we got someone who values acceptance by others, I want others to accept me more than they want success, then they're not going to go out and do things. So let's imagine we put these two people in a job. Let's imagine we gave them a job in sales. This person who values success over acceptance, they're going to do well in sales because they're going to go for it. And yeah, people will say no to them and people will not answer the phone. People will reject them on the phone. They'll keep going. On the other hand, you got this person who wants acceptance. That's their core value or one of their core values. They want to be accepted more than they want success. And we put them in sales. They're probably going to fail at sales. Why? They're not going to ask for the sale. They're not going to actually want to make the phone calls because, you know, I don't want to make those phone calls. What if someone rejects me? What if someone doesn't answer? What if they tell me that they don't want it? See, and this is where the challenge lies in core values. Now, we're going to do an activity where we start taking a look at that. However, the biggest thing at the bottom of the iceberg is a simple thing called your identity, okay? Your identity is really about your I am statements. How do you define you? What is your definition of you? What is your identity? Now, a lot of the times, identity is wrapped up in our work or wrapped up in where we fit in our family situation or wrapped up in where we live or where we went to school or where we went to college. Sometimes our identity gets stuck in some of these things. Why? Again, it's about proactive versus reactive. Are we trying to build the right human? Are we trying to become who we need to be in order to do, in order to have? Or are we just going along thinking, oh, whatever happens is what happens? Well, if you're like me and you want to build that 30X life where you build a life that you plan, we are going to work out who do I need to be based on yesterday's formula, and we're going to use that by turning it into an identity statement. Now, what this means is the words I am, okay? So I want you to start thinking about I ams, all right? And maybe just think about what are maybe some downplay I ams you use. They don't have to be negative. They could just be downplay ones. Not like, you know, I'm poor, but, well, I'm not rich. You know, not like I'm fat, but, yeah, I'm not fit. Not like I'm out of, you know, it's just putting yourself into a slightly negative I am statement. What are those, some of those that you think of? Now, the reason I bring this up is because some of those things you decided to name yourself, to identify yourself as. But a vast majority of them just happened. A vast majority of them just gradually became. Maybe one person said it, therefore you accepted it as reality. Maybe one person gave you a negative tag and you've said it to yourself 1,000 times since. The one person who said it just made a mistake. You saying it to yourself 1,000 times since, that's not a mistake. That's a choice, okay? Them saying it wrong once, yeah, I don't condone that. But I also definitely don't condone you downplaying you 1,000 times since or 100 times since. I am is where we proactively get to determine who it is we need to be and want to be in order to do that. Now, we're going to do a whole 30X on building those I am statements for you in your life. However, I want to give you a starting point on it because I know some people like to get a head start on things. You see, when I look at me as, let's just say me as a dad, how do I define myself as a dad? Is it just I'm a dad? No. It's I'm an amazing, fun, proactive, enjoyable, caring, loving, supportive, teaching, and unreasonable dad. You know, my definition of me is, who is it that I need to and want to be as a dad? Now, as it comes, I have five different I am statements as a dad because I got 5 kids. But in each case, it's fairly similar. There's just a few things. Some of my kids need me to be slightly different dad to the other kids because, hey, they're different. But building your identity, let's examine how this plays out. Think of the day you became an employee, or the day you became a business owner, or the day you became a parent, or the day you became an uncle or a grandparent, or you know, the day you graduated from something. See, I'll use being a dad. I'll stay with that one. The day I became a parent and my brain went, I am a parent. Now, luckily enough, it takes 9 months from when you find out you're pregnant to have the kid, and you kind of got some time to get used to that fact. But in this situation, when I became a dad, guess what shifted? My values shifted. They did. Had to shift. Being a dad can't have the same values when you're a dad as when, you know, I was not a dad. My beliefs had to shift. My skill sets, oh my goodness, did my skill sets have to shift when I became a dad? You know, learning to change a diaper, oh my goodness, never done that before. This was an interesting challenge. You know, behaviors have to shift. Now, and you see this over time where you change your identity and your values, your beliefs, your skill sets, all of these things shift. I remember when I became a business owner. Values shifted, beliefs shifted, everything had to shift. Skill set dramatically had to shift. When I became an investor, again, values shift. All of these things. It's as an investor, I can't be looking for tomorrow to get a return. I need to be looking more long term. So my values had to shift in that manner. You know, each of us has to understand that as we shift our identity, these other things automatically shift. And it's kind of cool that way, that if we build proactively an identity of ourselves our core values, our beliefs, and these things will grow with us and help us achieve what we want to achieve. Build better behaviors to build better outcomes. So, that being said, well, what is the biggest thing that shapes your identity? Well, that's the environments you put yourself into. So what environments are you putting yourself into that build your negative identities, okay, that support the downplay identities? What environments are you putting yourself into that build the positive identities of you, where you become a better person, where you achieve more things? What environments are you in that create you, okay? And often environments are people, often they're places. You know, I've often, just coaching business clients over the years, I've just come into their office and said, let's just change up your whole office. And by changing the whole office, it changed the entire identity of the company. Just painting the place shifted. Changing at your house, you'd probably know this quite well. If you change things in your home, you can shift. Hanging out with different people, going to different environments, going to different restaurants, going to, you know, stop going to negative environments that support the negative identity of you. Stop hanging out with people that support the negative identity of you. These are some of the things that are very important. You see, the iceberg is shaped by the water around it, the movement around it. And the same as you, you're shaped by the environments you're putting yourself into. So, part of homework tonight is to work out what are two or three negative environments that I got to keep myself out of more often? What are two or three spots or places or things that I need to just stop going to? Flip it over, what are two or three environments that I need to be in more often? Or what are two or three environments that I need to start putting myself into? Okay, where are some places I need to be in order to do more and have more? Get into that environment and you get into a new identity. Your identity starts to shift. People see you differently. I'll give you a simple story on this one. I had a team member who worked for me. She was super successful in our company, did amazing things for us. But when she started with us, she was very aggressive, like a very aggressive personality, and would be very blunt with people to the point where people got to this thing of, well, damn, she's just tough. Damn, she's just nasty. Damn, she's, you know, all this stuff. And over a period of 2 or 3 years, she was doing self-development, going to courses, learning things, growing, becoming a better person. Far less outbursts, far less anger, far less of all of these things. Yet, the people she was working with still saw her as that tough, nasty, hard-nosed person. And in the end, you know, her and I both had to agree that for her to grow as a person, she needed to go somewhere else where the people who met her now met her as the relatively calm, relatively stable person that she was. She's still a rock star at the job she did, but she needed to put herself into an environment where the people hadn't known her in that old way. Sometimes we got to move to new environments just so people meet the person we are now, and they don't remember us as the person we used to be. They meet us as the person we are now, and that's sort of who we are today. You know, as you grow and change, if the people around you aren't growing and changing with you and aren't willing to accept that you have changed, then it's kind of tough for you. You've got to look at the environments you're in and start to think, how people define you, the identity they give you. Sometimes it's tough to outgrow that. I remember when I first started investing in real estate, and the identity I had with my banker was a novice investor. I was just starting out, my first property, my second, my third. And by the time I got to my fourth one that I'm looking to buy, he knew me as a novice investor. And he's like, whoa, 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 Brad, you're going too fast. This is just too quick. I'm like, well, hang on a sec. This is not quick. I went and met with a couple of other banks, and they were like, wow, you already own 3? Oh, so you must know what you're doing. And they were willing to lend to me because to them, my identity was an existing successful investor, not someone who's just started and grown through. Sometimes we need to do that. I also remember back when I was first doing coaching and teaching people business, I was at a function with my parents, and one of my dad's parents came along, and at this time, people were paying me thousands and thousands of dollars for coaching advice in their business. And my dad's friend came along, and his business was struggling, and my dad turned to him and said, "Hey, you should get Brad to help you out." Now, this is someone that was my dad's friend that's known me since I was born. And he just looked at me as this little kid. He's like, "I can't possibly get advice from your kid." Even used the word kid. And it was like, huh, different environments, different identities. So maybe you got to shift environments to start shifting the identity that you're in and start looking at how do I actually get myself a new identity by putting myself around the right people. Now, I want to just be real clear around something here, and that is this. It's a simple statement that I've used for many, many years, and it is for sure something that we all need to understand. And that is this. The only way you can fail is to not do something. Okay? I mentioned earlier that the biggest risk you can take is to do nothing. Well, in this example of what we're doing here with building your identity, the only failure is the failure to play the game. The only failure is to do something, is to participate. The only way you can fail. Now, why is that the case? See, if you don't participate, you can't learn. If you don't participate, you can't grow. If you don't participate, if you do nothing, then you stay exactly where you're at. And grow or die philosophy, you're heading backwards. Now, the reason I bring this up is because I want you to take the steps you need to take. I want you to start moving with this. The only failure here is to do nothing. Now, might you, in defining your new identity, make a mistake? Yes. Guess what? You can do. Change it. Okay? As Jim Rohn used to say, you're not a tree. You can move. Change. All right? When you think about this simple fact of the only way to fail is to not do anything, you have to understand the difference between failing and learning. You see, in my world, there's only succeeding and learning. There isn't success and failure. There's success and learning. So either I succeeded or I learned another way. You all know the Einstein theory of this, and you all know that, you know, inventing the light bulb, you know, 9,999 ways it didn't work. This simple theory is something that's really important on your road to success. There is only success or learning. Did I have a learning experience or did I have a successful experience? A lot of times during 30X, you're going to have learning experiences. Let me be blunt about that, okay? A lot of times in life, you're going to have learning experiences. But to define it as a failure because you did something? No. The only failure is to do nothing. The only way you can fail is to just not participate in this thing. So to sit on the sidelines and go, "Oh, that's great learning, Brad, about the identity. It's great learning and understanding about what that is. But I don't know. I'm not going to do anything." Yes, you're going to do something. You're going to sit down and start thinking about what identity do I need? Who do I need to be in order to do, in order to have? You can't not think about this stuff now that I've put it in your head. You can't stop thinking about this. You are going to be thinking about doing this day in and day out because it's now in your head. Who do I need to be in order to do, in order to have? You're going to be thinking about who you need to be so that you will do and so that you will have. You're going to be looking at your values, your skill sets, your beliefs, and start working on these things so that your behaviors grow. You're going to be thinking about what environments, and that's your homework tonight. What are two or three environments I need to be in less, and what are two or three environments I need to be in more? Where do I need to be more? Where do I need to be less? Build environments that shape your identity for who you want to be in order to do, in order to have. You know, ultimately, those I am statements, which we're going to get to in a lot of detail later in 30X, those ways we identify ourselves, those ways you determine who you are, the I am this, that stuff's going to shift. That stuff's going to change. But it's proactive, not reactive. You've got to be proactive in determining who do I need to be in order to do, in order to have. What identity, what values, what beliefs, what skill sets, who do I want to be? I want to shape my identity so that my decisions and actions, in other words, my behaviors, are the ones that lead me to my goals and lead me to my dreams. This is 30X. You got some homework to do. So let's do this.